Thought for today. Anticipation is the real thing. So many times, I seem to start out oftentimes saying so many times, don't I? But as we look at life, we anticipate what's going to happen. And as we anticipate what's going to happen, we think, oh boy, and we can visualize exactly what's going to happen. We know we're going to Disneyland. We visualize ourselves going to Disneyland, going on the rides and just having a good time. And we visualize ourselves driving there and chatting and singing on the way. And on the way back, we're all falling asleep in the car. Everybody else is relaxing. Just the driver has to stay awake. That poor old driver who's got to do the job of a full day down and a full day back and a full day in and a full day out. And that's an amazing person, that driver. But anticipation is the real thing. Because once we get there, we don't remember what we're doing. You know, they talk about a wedding. I'm always amused at weddings. Because they say about weddings that the man never knows what's going on. He comes there in a daze, usually a drunken stupor is what they used to do to them. And then they go through the rites of the marriage, and then afterwards they are so conked and so beat that they fall asleep and they don't even have their first marriage at night, you know. And that was normal for years and years and years. That's normal the way things did, at least according to the way the movies talked about it and the way other some people talked about it. I quite imagine that those were the exceptions. I think that every single person, not every single person, I think that the majority of the people who get married are very much alert and aware of what they're doing and what they're saying. And they remember the twinkle in their sweetheart's eyes when she says, "I do." And the sweetheart remembers the twinkle in her lover's eyes when she says, when he says, "Will you take me for your husband? Will you accept me?" And she says, "I've got to think about that. I really meant to give that a little more thought." And sometimes they pull little funnies like that, you know. But they don't realize that this is the foundation upon which they're establishing their marriage. And when they make a weak foundation like that, "I'm not sure. Maybe I better give it a little more thought. Ho, 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 ho. Isn't that funny?" That's not funny at all. When you're talking about serious things, you want to maintain the attitude of seriousness. I don't know, the word seriousness doesn't quite do it. It's a matter of importance, a matter of, what other word would there be?
When sincerity.
Sincerity, yeah, that's a good one too. Not integrity, but it's sincerity, and it is...
Determination.
Huh? Well, that's a different area that we're talking about there. But when the husband says to the wife or the woman, "Well, I decided to marry you because nobody else would say yes." Now, that's not a very happy remark, you know. And it's sarcastic and destructive. But you see, if the woman, and I blame it all on the woman, all on the woman. If the woman anticipates the man who is a clown, who is a joker, who is a fool sometimes, if she anticipates that he's going to say something like that at her wedding, he will. If she anticipates that he's going to be the most sober, sincere, loving, dedicated, disciplined, diligent, determined man that she'd ever met, that, like, what was it, the story we saw? My other sister, remember? And the girl and the boy, in taking their vows, they took them because it was for them. They took them because it was something for them. Now, the mother had anticipated the wedding to go blah, blah. And the father anticipated the wedding to go another way. Everybody anticipated. And when they got there, their anticipation was entirely lost because a new a new theater was born when those two kids went through their wedding vows. And they had such sincerity, such integrity, such purity of purpose and attitude. You see, when you are so pure as they were, when you have such purity of purpose and attitude, it can sometimes be misunderstood. Just like the things that he got up and said during the previous wedding party were misunderstood. And it's misunderstood not because he didn't mean it with all of his heart, but because other people took it wrong, because those are the things that they say in the locker room, so to speak, not out in public. But for him, the young man, who was mentally strong but not yet as balanced as he could be, to him, everything was open. They say everything, like little children. Little children have a tendency to say everything, even if it's something that's going to get their parents in trouble, you know. But they say everything. The parents, in fact, shouldn't be doing anything that's going to get them in trouble anyhow. But the children, they just have a tendency to say everything. And some of them are guided to say things. Some of them are trained to say things. Now, they have to do certain things during a wedding ceremony if they're going to be the ring bearer or the flower girl or something like that. And so they have to learn their part. But that's why they have rehearsals, so that they don't get any surprises. But the wedding rehearsals are nothing like the wedding. Because the wedding rehearsal, there's all sorts of interruptions coming in, all sorts of things happening, and they think, well, now that's just the rehearsal. Well, just wait till the wedding. The wedding has all sorts of things, and whatever you anticipate for the wedding is going to happen. So if you anticipate you're going to have the most beautiful wedding in the world, so it'll be, because it'll be your consciousness. It'll be your thought. It'll be your imagination. And when you have the real thing, you will be living it from your adventure of anticipating the wedding. That's the kind of wedding you really have. Now, when you go to pick a dog at the dog store, you know, and you go down to the kennel to buy a dog, and you go in there, and you're anticipating getting the snuggliest, lovingest, nicest little puppy you could ever imagine. Well, sometimes it doesn't work out that way. I've forgotten his name now, her name. This is long ago, way, way back in Corona del Mar, before that, in fact. Anyhow, we got this dog. We went to the kennel, and there are a lot of dogs to choose from. And so all the dogs were friendly and wiggly up front, you know, and one little guy was in the back, and he was just sort of sitting there, like just waiting for everybody else to get their game over with, and then he'd come forth. And so everybody else wiggled off to other people. And then he came from the back and came up to me, she. And Whiskers is the name. It's a boy's name on a girl dog. And so Whiskers came up, and she was looking at me and licking my finger, and she says, "I've made up my mind, have you?" And you see, I knew when I went to the kennel that I was going to choose a dog. I knew it was going to be a dog that had personality, a dog that had uniqueness about it in every possible way. And I anticipated this. I hadn't anticipated exactly how she was going to come up, and I thought it was going to be a he. And lo and behold, here it turns out to be a she, and we called her Whiskers, and she was fabulous. We had her for 100 years. She lived with us in Corona del Mar, and she was just great. She'd been through some pretty terrific things, but she just really was great. But we could never have anticipated what she was like, because what we did anticipate, she was. But then she went far beyond any anticipation is a real thing, we say here. But is anticipation the real thing? Anticipation is a real thing when we let it stop there. But when we keep creating, as we all do, when we keep creating, once the experience has taken place, it gets better and better and better. So, Whiskers got better and better and better. And every experience we had with Whiskers was a wonderful, joyous experience. We've had many, many dogs over our lifetime, and each dog lived anywhere from 5 to 15 years with us. And happy dogs, wonderful dogs, but each one brought with it new anticipation. Our last dog here, what do we call him? Snuggles. What do you call him?
Snuggles.
Snuggles. The last dog we brought here was Snuggles, and we had a totally different anticipation for Snuggles. Snuggles was to go to May so that she could love him and feel good with him, and it wasn't to be. It wasn't to be. I have a feeling there was certain anticipation going on before we took Snuggles to May that caused him to be ours. And so that was boring itself out, but as for me, I was all set to give it to May and say, take him and enjoy and have a wonderful life. But you see, perhaps that's teaching us something too. We can never give anything to another. Now, Ray asked for the dog. We told him the dog was available, and he says, I want him, I want him. I said, you haven't even seen him. You don't, I want him. But you haven't even seen, you don't know who it is. I want him, you know, because he knows that anything that would come into our life would be a spectacular dog. And his dog, and what does he call him? He calls it Tipper. And why does he call it Tipper? Because that was the name of his other dog. And that was the name of his other dog. Probably several dogs back. But he called it Tipper. Now, this dog was a mature Jack Russell. And it was owned by people who enjoyed him. But as Ray says, he wasn't housebroke. And so when Tipper came to Ray's house, the first thing Tipper did was assess the people there. He said, let's see, who's in charge here? Who do I make love to? Who's in charge here? Who do I want to be their best friend? And he looked at Ray and he realized that he was the one who was in charge. And so he leapt up into his lap and stayed there and hasn't left since. Been totally happy, peaceful, joyous, wonderful. Now, what's that all about? What's that all about? Did Ray anticipate that this dog was going to be that way? Ray anticipated one thing, that this dog was going to love him as Tipper had loved him and even more. Ray didn't care whether he looked like a Chinese Samoan dog or some Pomeranian thing with silly fur all over him here and there, or some Alaskan husky or whatever. He just knew that the perfect dog would come to him. Well, the perfect dog did come to him. And what did he do with it? He loved it. Now, he still complains. He says, the dog still isn't housebroken. And I said, look, you've had the dog for almost a year now. Why haven't you trained him? Well, I broop-a-doo-woo, you know. And I said, well, that's the way it is. And he says, but I can handle it. I can handle it. And so he does. But what is all this now? What is all this? All this is one simple thing. It's that everybody has a dream. And that dream is to live and enjoy their life in absolute happiness and joy. You understand? And to live your life in absolute happiness and joy means that you're always anticipating your highest and your best. You always have your thought out that everything is working out perfect. Everything is working out well. Now, Ray and Dave were thinking of splitting up from the point of view that Dave would go to a rest home and then Ray would just take care of the house himself. And then Ray thought, well, you know, as much of a bother as Dave is, I still like having him around. He's a nice guy. As much as Dave only has half of his brain that he's using right now since his stroke, he's still a nice guy. He's irascible. He's tough and stuff, but I understand it and I can handle it. You know, I know it, and he's not doing it because he's being mean. He's doing it because he just isn't all there. And so, you see, those are all tolerable situations, and those are ones that you don't make judgments on. And that's a big feature. So, Ray was thinking Dave might go to a restroom. What was Ray really thinking? Everything would work out for Dave to stay. And everything did. Everything worked out for him to stay. Now, you and I, we'd say, well, that's driving Ray mad. It's so much of a demand on him. He's 80 years old, and it's making a great demand on him. If Ray did not have Dave to care for, he might not have any really reason to stay living. But now he has a reason to stay healthy, to stay living, and to stay whatever, because he's got Dave to take care of. He's got Dave to worry about. And you see, these things we are so anticipatory about. Ray anticipates that he is going to take care of Dave until the day he ends it, till the day he moves on. And then Dave can get whoever he wants to take care of him. But Ray sees David as his, not reason for living, but a purpose for living, or what would you say? Nothing so great as a reason.
Motivation.
Thank you, that's a good word. A motivation to be healthy and hearty and happy and keep on living a good life. It's a good reason, too. It's a good reason. Because David's a dear friend of his. And so, anticipation is a real thing. So Ray anticipates that Dave is going to be around a long time, because that's what Ray said. Dave's family come from a long line of long-living people. And so Dave says, well, what if you die before I go? And Ray says, then you'll be taken care of by somebody else. But I don't want somebody else. Well, that's just the way it is. There's not much I can do about that. But Ray is not anticipating dying. He is anticipating living and having a good time. He's anticipating doing all sorts of wonderful, funny, joyous, harmonious things. And is he going to succeed in doing it?
Yes.
You bet. Is he going to live a long, happy, healthy life? You bet. Will he always have charming things taking place in his world? Certainly. Is he anticipating this? Yes. You know what one of his great joys is? To go to a garage sale. A garage sale. He doesn't buy much there. And you know what he does? He says if it's over a dollar, it's too much. And so he usually offers 10 cents or 50 cents or something like that for a thing. And the stuff that he gets for 10 cents and 50 cents, when you're first married, you'd just die for that. See, that's what they should teach first married people, where to go get things that they could, you know, use until they could buy better things. But and these things are good. They're toasters and toaster ovens, and they're microwaves, and they're household appliances and things, all sorts of stuff. Some of them are ancient. Some of them are ancient. Most of them are very usable. But that's anticipation. When you go to a rummage sale, if you anticipate finding all sorts of good junk, you will. If you go to a rummage sale and you anticipate finding all sorts of beautiful things that are going to enhance your house and enhance your living, then that's what to do. I was listening to Randy and Susan talking at Bill Ellsworth's birthday party, and they were discussing a device that purees fruits and vegetables. And then, as Randy says, and it makes wonderful bread, too. And he was telling how to make bread with this device and have such a good time with it. And then he said, and you know what? I was ready to buy one. And then I happened to stop at a garage sale on the way home from work one day. And this lady had this set in there. And I said, what do you want for it? She said, I don't know what price to put on it. He said, here's $5. Is that good? She says, oh, that's more than I expected. And the thing was in a box, and it had never been used. Never been used. And, of course, it's a little older, but it was never used, and it's perfectly good. And so he brought that home, and he was so delighted, because he didn't know everything that it would do. He just thought, well, nice kitchen appliance. It was big, you know, it was in a big box. And he is big and his wife is big, and he thought that would be suitable for their home. And it was. But you see, anticipation. Now, he anticipates making bread with it, pureeing fruits with it, pureeing veggies with it, doing all those neat things. And he not only anticipates it, he does it. But this is what anticipation does. It's the real thing. It opens up all sorts of doorways for us, all sorts of avenues for us to experience life, enjoy life, and be thrilled with life. Well, my loves, thought for today, anticipation is a real thing. Think about it. What have you anticipated recently? Make sure it's something that you really want, and then you'll have it. I love you.